Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
If you will, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. It used to be that when I heard this sound, it was kind of annoying. You know, it's one of those sounds that you hear and maybe it's not so bad at first, and then the more you hear it, the more you're sitting there thinking to yourself, man, I wish that that would just go away. I wish that somebody would take care of that. I wish somebody would do something. Now this was, you know, many years ago when I was not so old and wise, that this sound bothered me. And then I became a parent, and all of a sudden it became a beautiful sound to my ears, and it was the sound of crying children or children making noises in worship. I remember thinking, way back in the day, at least 12 years ago, man, I wish parents would just make their kids behave, right? You ever had that thought before? You know, and sometimes there's that kid in worship, and I'm not at all going to call names out or even, you know, talk about any particular children, because probably at some point every single one of our children have been that child, right? And you hear the child just going on and on and on, and maybe the child is mad, or maybe the child is happy, or maybe the child is not getting its way, or whatever the case is, you hear the voices of little children in worship. And I remember when I used to think, man, that is so annoying. Do something with that child. I was sitting there this morning, obviously thinking about this lesson tonight, and it's been on my mind all week. And as we were taking the Lord's Supper, I heard three or four little voices. And it hit me that that is one of the most beautiful sounds in the world. Is to hear the voices of children in a setting where God's people are worshiping God. And I thought to myself, if we're not hearing those little voices in the settings of the Lord's worship, then what does that mean for the church? And so this morning, as we're sitting there in the Lord's Supper and we're thinking about the sacrifice of Jesus, and everybody was quiet. It was a beautiful moment to hear those voices and to think they're learning about the sacrifice of Jesus. Tonight, I want to give you a little bit of an update of what's going on with our End of the City. I'm going to call it our mission work. It is what we're having the opportunity to do as a church in our community. And I want to talk about the beautiful voices that you're going to hear, or that I'm going to tell you about, these beautiful sounds to God. Now, what's interesting is some of these children can make a lot of noise. They've never been in these settings before. They don't know what to expect, and they're having to learn everything from ground up. They haven't had the foundational teaching that many of our children have had. And so, for those of us involved and those who are working with this ministry, we're having to learn maybe some patience. But I want us to be reminded tonight that maybe this is one of, if not the most beautiful sounds to God, is when God hears His children crying out. This is a book that was written back, I believe, either in the late 80s or early 90s. Maybe you've heard of this book. It's called Children Mean the World to God, by Dr. Harold Shank, who has been a longtime preacher. But he goes to Genesis 21, and I want us to look at Genesis 21 there for a moment as we introduce what's going to take place tonight. But he uses this illustration straight from the Bible, where Abraham and Sarah had tried to take things into their own hands. They had believed in the promise of God, but then they got impatient with the promise of God that God would bless them and would give them a son. And so because it wasn't on their time, they decided to take matters in their own hands. And so Abraham and Hagar end up having a child named Ishmael. By the time Ishmael is a young teenager, probably around 11, 12, 13 years old or so, then God keeps His original promise, and Abraham and Sarah are given a son named Isaac. Maybe Ishmael kind of knows what's going on. Maybe Ishmael, in the back of his mind, realizes that his inheritance is now at risk because the promised child has come into the world. The child that God wanted originally to be the one to take kind of the inheritance and be the chosen son of Abraham was now into the world. And so what we see is that Ishmael starts picking on Isaac a little bit. Maybe he knows, or maybe he's just being a bigger, older brother, right? Anybody have an older sibling? It's an older sibling's job to kind of pick on the younger ones. Whatever the case is, though, Sarah doesn't like it. And she tells Abraham, I want you to send Ishmael, I want you to send Hagar and Ishmael into the wilderness. I want you to get rid of them. He's mistreating Isaac. I don't like having him around. I want you to get him out of here. And so when we pick up in verse 14, in Genesis 21 verse 14, we see Abraham following through with this. Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water. He gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes. She went and sat down opposite him and about a bow shot away, for she said, "Do not let me see the boy die." And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. You can imagine the tragedy of this situation. If we back up, you see that Abraham is distraught with this decision that Sarah is having him make. God comforts him and says, "It'll be okay, I will take care of things." But then put yourself in the place of the mother. You're in the wilderness. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're going to end up, and your water and your food run out, and there's no other choice but to set the boy down, knowing that he's probably going to die. And because you don't want to watch that, you remove yourself from him as a mother, just so you don't have to hear him crying and see the tragedy of death in your child's life. This is where God comes in. God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from the heaven and said to her, "What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the boy and hold him by the hand, for I will make him a great nation out of him." And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy. The main point that Dr. Schenck makes in his book, and the one that I want us to pay attention to tonight, is simply this, that God hears the voices of His children. God hears the voices of His children. We are getting to experience something in this ministry that I've never experienced before. And it's the overwhelming crying out of children in our community around us. It's the overwhelming crying out of children in our community around us. As we're bringing these children in and you start watching them behave the way that they behave, and sometimes, like I said, it's unruly or it's acting out, and we would call it misbehaving. I see children begging for attention and begging for love. When children are jumping up and down and they're rejoicing and they're happy, I see children begging for other people to rejoice with them and to give them affirmation. When I see children who come in on a Wednesday night and they're struggling, they've had a bad day or just things didn't go right at school and they're kind of got their head hung low, I'm seeing children crying out for somebody to comfort them. And this is where we get to fulfill a mission that God has placed in our lives. Our task is to bring children to God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19? As He is ministering to those around Him, parents start trying to bring their children to Jesus, and the apostles start pushing them up. No, 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 no. This is adult time. This is the time for Jesus to minister to adults. And Jesus said, time out a minute. And I want you to picture Jesus sitting there on a rock or on the grass, or maybe he had been standing up and he goes over with the children and sits down with them. And he says, let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such of these. In other words, he says, I want the children to be a part of what I'm doing. Jesus at a later date would say, or at a later time would say, unless you are like a little child, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what Jesus was teaching his apostles, and what we need to remember, is that the Lord's kingdom is all about God's children. Whether it is the literal idea of a child, and the fact that we would want to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, or the fact that we as God's people are called God's children. The kingdom of heaven is all about God's children. And so tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in this ministry. First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you as a church for backing us in what we're trying to do in this. Thank you for allowing us as a youth group to have a vision, to have a dream, and to see what happens when we begin to put God's Word into action and in our lives and allow the power of God in His Spirit to move us into the community and make a difference. And I'm going to tell you something. God's making a difference in this community through this church. Thank you for being a part of that. Early on, we began looking at... Now, there were a couple of things happening here. Some of our buses that we had were starting to get old and unreliable. And when we sat down and began thinking about this ministry and some of the other things that we needed to do as a church, one of the things we realized was that if this was going to become a realization, we were going to need some upgraded buses, some reliable buses. And our elders understood this vision, and I'm thankful to them for allowing us to go out and get two new buses that are becoming a part of our ministry. Last year, when we started our End of the City ministry, we started picking up children at the end of March. We were only having about 7 children, and I'll tell you that as we go along. We only needed one bus. As we picked back up this year and over the course of the summer had opportunities to be in the community, and now that we're in Brown Elementary, I want you to know that we are picking up 25 plus children every single Wednesday night. God said His Word will not come back to me empty, right? It is amazing to see what happens when we just simply allow God to do what God does and He gives us the growth. 25 plus children, but that's because of your investment and allowing God to use you. We have 115 plus volunteers, both teens and adults, from this church who are a part of this ministry and doing great things. I say 115 plus. I've actually got an app. It's called Remind App. Some of you have probably heard of that. And when I send out a Remind text, I send it out literally all at the same time to 118 different members of this congregation. Now I say that that's probably give or take on this slide because some are now in college and gone away and they'll help out when they come back or whatever. Some have not necessarily gotten to jump in full-fledged yet but are planning to. And so even though we don't have 115 people across the parking lot every single Wednesday night because it just wouldn't fit all of us, there are still 115 plus people who are invested in this, who are planning on being involved in this and going through the rotation of the different teams that we have put together. But even if there are some who don't feel comfortable being over there, there have been people who have given over $2,000 specifically for this ministry to simply say, we don't know what you need necessarily, but use this to take care of whatever it is that comes up. At one point, and I'll show you in a minute, but at one point we were able to buy Bibles for all of the children that we had at the end of last year. Well, we plan to do that again, and as we add more children, to constantly make sure they have a Bible in their hands. I'm going to show you some of those pictures in a minute. Some of those children had never seen a Bible before. And even if they'd seen one, they didn't get to call it their own. You want to talk about heart touching. When you see a child open up the Bible for the first time, and they know that it's theirs, and they get to keep it, and God, the creator of the universe, is going to speak to them. Man, to be a child again. To be a child again and to remember what it's like to know that God would speak to us. We have been given infinite opportunities for ministry. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Brown Elementary and our adoption of second grade at the end, because that has become an extension of what we're doing through Into the City Ministry. I think it was, I wasn't over here obviously, but this was announced to you on Wednesday night, I believe, that this was a card that was put together and signed by all of the second graders at Brown Elementary. Several months ago, or I guess a month and a half ago, we had the opportunity to put together a meal just for the second graders and their families, so that we could get to know them, so that we could let them know that we're here for them. And by the way, we have added three or four families because of our involvement with Brown Elementary at second grade. But I also want you to know that if we hadn't already been involved, excuse me, with our Into the City ministry through Brown, we might not have gotten invited to do that ministry or to be a part of that adoption process at Brown. Key Pace Rash now, she actually said to me, she said, "Hey, you are already in the communities. Normally, we only invite the churches who are right around this school, in the vicinity of this school." She said, "But you are already involved in this community. We couldn't leave you out." I said, "Well, thanks for not leaving us out." And I was excited about that. That God allowed us to work our way into these communities, into the lives of these families, and we are now getting to impact and touch lives on a whole different level. Some of you are already have signed up to be, or are already being lunch buddies, which means you're getting to go whenever you want and eat lunch with those second graders at Brown Elementary. And let me just tell you, if you want an ego boost, if you're having a bad day and you want to feel good about yourself, sign up to be a lunch buddy. Walk in there to meet some of those second graders, and you will walk out of there thinking you're a rock star, okay? They don't have to know who you are. They don't have to know your name. They could have seen you one time, but if you'll give them a high five, what happens? You give one kid a high five, and now the whole, you know, rest of the 60 other second graders, they want to give you a high five too. And you better do it, which means you better go to every single table and walk all the way around the table giving high fives before you leave. They're crying out to be touched by people who will invest in them and love them. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Columbia Housing Authority in a minute as well, but I want you to also know that God has opened doors for us through our Into the City ministry and through Brown Elementary, that for whatever reason now, when there are needs through the Housing Authority, I've got a friend named Donna Anderson. Her son graduated from Columbia Academy. They were from Chapel Hill, so I knew them even before we came to Columbia. But if she knows of needs in that community, people who are struggling with different provisions, we're the first ones that she calls. That's neat to me. That she's giving Graymere the opportunity to help out with needs first. God is using us to make an impact. I want us to keep going. So here's what I want to do. I want to show you a little bit about what takes place. Here's the new one of the new buses, in case you haven't gotten to see that yet. We have two of these, two 15 passengers and a 25 passenger. And depending on the night, we're usually taking at least one of the 25 passenger vans right now and one of the 15s. We have not only the driver that's on the bus, but we also have some riders that help us. Ken and Debbie Wiles early on said we may not be able to help every Wednesday night with the class part of it, but we will ride the bus every week when we're in town, and they have been faithful to do so. And the kids love them. I mean, it's like they are grandparents to these kids. It's amazing. Adam Whitley, Caleb Nutt, Jason Lindsay have helped out riding the bus. Jack and David Craig driving. And so we've got a team. If you want to be on a team, if you hear something, let me just say this up front. If you hear me talking about something tonight and you say, "You know what? That sounds like something I could be involved in," let me know. We've got plenty of areas that we need to continue to fill up with workers, and that we need help with certain situations. I can get you plugged in, but this is one of our buses, and we get to ride Every Wednesday night we're picking kids up in the buses, and I don't know why this is not working. I've got it on, Sean, but for whatever reason I'm clicking, and it's just not clicking. All right. Here's the bus ride. This is on the way home, so it's a little dark. You kind of see. I'll tell you what, some of them look worn out. By the end of our nights on Wednesday night, they have expended so much energy that they are literally exhausted. Some of the kids will fall asleep on the way home on Wednesday night because of the activity we've been having. But then you got Zay right there in the middle. And Zay is a bubbly, fun kid, but he doesn't want you to think it, okay? And so every time you see him, he's always just frowning at you, you know? But you'll see a different side of him here in a minute as well. So I'm just going to start clicking through these. Daniel was our very first child. When this started last year, God blessed us with Daniel Peoples. We prayed for his mother, Danisha, who had the baby, Anaya, several months ago. Daniel was the perfect kid for God to bless us with as we began this ministry. He is loving. He is bubbly. He is happy most of the time. Ever since his little sister Anaya came along, man, his world has been rocked and turned upside down. And so now, you know, we see a different side of him from time to time. But Jennifer is there teaching the class or helping with that. And she pulled Daniel up there because she had him in class and knew him. And so Daniel was our first kid. You kind of see him just kind of cutting up there. Chloe ended up being our second child. Chloe is, or one of our close after, Chloe Gray, lives right next to Daniel. And for the first 3 or 4 weeks, Daniel would come jump on the bus and Chloe would stand there in the yard. It was really neat to watch. And she, it was like she wanted to get on the bus, but she wasn't sure about it. She was real shy. And then, you know, she'd kind of get a little closer and she'd run back in the house. And it took about 3 or 4 weeks. And finally, Tessa rode the bus with us one night because Tessa knew her from Jennifer's class. And when she saw Tessa on the bus, that's all it took. She jumped on the bus, hasn't looked back since. She is a very shy girl, but when she shows up, she will give every single one of our workers a hug. Beautiful little girl, amazing little girl. So that's the start of our ministry. From that point forward, we began to add the numbers. We have the Cates family, who's actually two separate families of siblings, but they're cousins. So we've got 7 of them who joined us by the end of last year. This is a picture. You're going to see some of our teens involved. This is the picture of the children getting to look at their Bibles for the first time. And you're going to see that the looks on their faces were just kind of mesmerizing. They were loving this. All right. It's just not working, Sean. So you see me do this and that, you got it. All right. So a little bit about what we do. Every Wednesday night, we show up with the children at about 6:45. We have snacks. The teenagers are there. The workers are there. And we just spend time with the children. We sit with them. We talk with them. We interact. And it's neat. The teenagers are giving hugs to the little kids. The kids are eating snacks. And it's snacks, but these kids can put the food away, I'm going to tell you. So, I will say we may continue to need some of that financial help when it comes to food. But I also want you to imagine maybe some of the circumstances they're coming out of. These aren't the wealthiest families that these children are coming from. And so the snacks that they're getting on Wednesday nights might actually be the biggest meal they have in the week other than their lunch at school. So they put some food away. It may be goldfish, but an entire container of goldfish will be gone by the end of the night. You know, one of those big gallon-sized containers. We start singing with them right at 7 o'clock, and we sing VBS-style songs. We teach them. Right now, we're slowly starting to introduce different types or different things that we do in worship to teach them. We're teaching them how to pray. We're teaching them about the Bible and why the Bible is so important. We have 2 major rules when they are in the yak over there with us every Wednesday night. The 2 rules are respect God and authority, number 1, and respect others. Anybody want to take a guess as to where that came from? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It's just a different way of wording it so that these kids will understand it. They may not always understand the definition of love or what love is supposed to look like, but I will tell you this, that respect is a big thing for them. Respect is something that they all want. They want people to look up to them, and they want people to notice their shoes. Kimani, I'm going to show you in just a minute, is an awesome little child. But the last two times that he's had a track meet, he's only in the third or fourth grade, but the last two times that he's had a track meet, I think he's gotten second or third place, and he'll wear that medallion that he got that afternoon to into the city. You know why? Because he wants people to notice. That's his crying out for affirmation that he's worthwhile or valuable. And so we teach them during this time those things. This is some of them getting the Bibles again. And let's just roll through some of these. Now, I'll tell you this. That night that we gave these children the Bibles, I don't know that we started class then for another 5 minutes because they were so mesmerized. They just kept flipping pages and they were looking at it and they were rubbing the Bible. I mean, it was amazing. It was so neat. So you've got them getting their Bibles. They're proud of them. They're excited about it. Our teenagers were going through their Bibles with them and showing them different things. They were asking questions. Two of the little boys, with the greatest intention said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to read this every single day. Well, I don't know what's happened, to the Bible since, but for him to say that night, he at least understood the value of the Bible. You're going to see some of our children intermixed and intermingled in this. I want to remind you again that if you have younger children that are fifth grade and under, and you want them to be involved in this ministry, it's a great opportunity to teach our children how to love others. Teach our children that there is no such thing as race or diversity when it comes to the love of God. And we are having some of our own children wanting to be a part of what's going on over there. And so, just as a reminder, we've got those sign-up sheets out on the ledge out here in the Information Center. If you want your children to be involved in some of this, the goal is we're slowly getting enough signed up now that we're going to start rotating our own little children in and out with them, because ultimately, let me say this, our goal is to not keep these kids separated over here. Our goal is not to just have two separate things going on. We want those children that we are bringing in and their families, their parents, we want them to understand overall the picture of the Lord's church as one big unified family. And so as we continue to work with those children, we want them to meet our children. We want our children to meet them, and so that one of these days, maybe they'll show up on a Sunday morning for Bible class and they already know some of our children on a Sunday morning. And so it becomes a natural part of the process. So you will see some of our children in these pictures. We're still singing there. Braden's probably cutting up with Kyle. I don't know. No, I'm just joking. We have a lot of fun, and there are some things. I think that's one of those moments where you never know what some of these kids are going to say or what they're going to do. And there are moments where we're just kind of looking at each other going, huh, that just happened, you know? And you just kind of, in patience, you just keep going along with it. Some of our boys have been stepping up and helping leading the singing. One of our goals early on was to make sure that this was not just for the children that we were busing in, but that our teenagers were learning what it is to lead and to mentor others. And so every Sunday morning, our team, whichever team is in charge of that set time frame, they are getting together on Sunday morning, adults and teenagers, and they're working on the lesson together for Wednesday night. And so then on Wednesday night, our teenagers are the ones that are teaching the lessons. Our teenagers are the ones that are sitting down next to them, sitting around the table, whether they're eating or whether they're helping with the craft or whatever it is, they're sitting there with them and they're helping those kids color and write and glue and cut out with paper. The teenagers are the ones who are involved in doing the skits and reading the stories and that sort of thing. It is so neat to watch. These kids love attention. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to see several of these. This is during snack time. This is our singing time. Now I'll tell you this too. They've seen some of our teenagers get up there to lead, and they've started kind of, now some of it is just they want the attention, but I do think some of it is too, they're trying to learn what this is all about. And so some of our ministry kids are looking at me and say, hey, can I help with this song? You know, or they'll say, can we sing this? Can I get up there with you? And we let them, you know, we want them to start learning the importance of worship. And so, I believe that's Elijah that's up there helping me sing this little Christian light of mine, and then I'm all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. We have snack with them. I'm just going to start rolling through these. You're going to start seeing some of this. Now, I want you to, I've got a progression of pictures here just to show you how much these children need our love and affection and our attention. Obviously, Charisma and Emma are getting a picture with Chloe here, but look what happens. This is the first picture. This is the second picture. This is the third picture. If we'd have kept going, that would have, the whole, all night long, kids would have kept jumping into that picture. They want to be noticed. They want that attention. They are crying out. They are crying out. And so, you know, this is one of the learning moments. You can see one of our kids dressed up, or a couple of them dressed up in Bible times. And I'll tell you this, our teachers and our teens are very creative in making sure, to teach the Bible story in ways that the kids are learning. Sometimes we're teaching through videos, sometimes through skits. They're getting to do some hands-on arts things that they're taking home every week. And there you see, that happening there. One week they made bracelets and you know, put Bible verses on their bracelets or Jesus loves me, different things like that. Some of the kids made bracelets that they could take to their friends at school or take home to their siblings or take home to their parents. And so that's been pretty neat. Some more singing. That's pretty much our biggest group yet. I think this may have been last Wednesday or the Wednesday before, and you can see it's a packed house. There are maybe two adults sitting in those chairs. But that is the teenagers working with those young people. So what happened was, after our supper at Brown Elementary, we had been used to about 7 to 13 kids. That was it. That's what we had been used to, enough to sit around one or two tables. And after that meal that you helped to serve at Brown Elementary, all of a sudden it looked like we were going to have around 25 to 30. And it was kind of one of those deer in the headlights, what are we going to do moments, okay? I'd already been blamed by our snack team for not being able to keep up with the number of kids. I name them. I just can't count them. I'm not great with numbers, all right? And so I have no idea how many we're showing up with on a bus. I just know who's supposed to be on the bus. We showed up that night with 25 kids, and it was kind of one of those, we're going to have to back up and punt. But here's what happened. It was so neat. I huddled all the teenagers together, and I said, all right, tonight we've got a new challenge. We've got more kids than we've ever had. Here's what I'm going to need you to do. I'm going to need each one of you to buddy up with one child, one of our End of the City ministry kids. I want you to just take one kid. That's going to be your kid during our singing and during the night. And you're going to stay with that kid and you're going to spend time with that kid. And so when that happened, what I said, it's buddy time. And our teenagers went over and they said, hey, come on and go sit with me. And it was the neatest thing. Instead of all the kids being bunched up front or kind of pushed over on the side or our teenagers just sitting back there on the back row and not paying attention, what happened was we had teen, child, teen, child, teen, child. And all of a sudden you saw some relationships being formed that had not necessarily happened just yet. And it was such a neat thing to see. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to roll through these real quick. I want you to see the faces of these children. I want you to see their names, and I'm going to ask you to do one thing with this. I just simply want you to remember a name, and I want you to pray for a name. Every day in your prayers, I want you to pray for a child. Children mean the world to God. I want to tell you a story real quick. And this was a tough one to tell because it involves one of the families that we thought we were going to lose. We thought they were going to have to move. It ended up that they did move, but they didn't have to leave Columbia. And through some really good investigation work, we were able to find them. But when we thought we were going to lose them, I wanted the mom to make sure she understood how much we loved her kids and them as a family. To the two oldest kids, Sam and Lexi, had even gotten to go to camp with us this summer, and that was a really neat experience for them. So I texted her and I just said, I hear you're moving. We're heartbroken. I just want you to know that we love you. We're here for you as a church family. If you ever need anything, please let us know. We hope to see you again soon. She wrote back. She said, thank you. We hate that we have to leave. And she said, it's really neat for you to share your love like that to us. She said, unfortunately, that's not the kind of love that we've always been used to in our lives. These kids need love. These kids need Jesus. And so I want you to pray for these kids. And I want you to think about a way that you can be involved. Here's Daniel. This is no particular order. Some of these are siblings, but I don't have them necessarily together. I just want you to remember a name. Isaiah. Chloe. Whoop. Sam. Now it's all of a sudden working again. I don't know. Here's Sam. Trey. Trey never smiles unless you somehow... Lincoln was just doing a cameo, so I had to put it in there, all right? He needs prayers too, though. EJ. Michaela. Emmanuel. Mackenzie. Anaya. Elijah. Ty. Time out for a minute. So this is Jazariana. This, when I tried to take the picture, I got Jazariana. When Lindsay Bailey took the picture, we got Jazz. Alright? So this is Jazz. If you can't remember her name, Jazariana, pray for Jazz. And I actually asked her later, I said, so what do you like to be called? Call me Jazz. Alright? So there's Jazz. There's Lexi. Matthew. Chloe. Zay. Zay tries to act tough all the time, but he's really just a big teddy bear. Kimani, there's his medal that he got from track that day. Savannah. Tyler. William. Ira. Cameron. That's our kids. Not all of them were there the other night when we were making sure to get pictures, but we've also got Haley, and we have another Mackenzie and Angelo. And those could be some. We've also got two teenagers that have shown up with us. JD, who continues to come every week and brought his friend one night named Malachi. Hopefully we're going to start. Our teenagers are interested in trying to pull them into the youth group, and some really neat things going on. So what I would tell you that we need, and just to think about the ministry, be praying for these children. If you're interested in being a volunteer, if you can't be over there on Wednesday nights during class time, but you could ride a bus with us, we need help with that. And we would love your help. Brown Elementary, we still have room for people to sign up to help with that. As a matter of fact, not everybody can do the lunch buddies or help with certain aspects, but one of the things that they are going to be doing in November is a health drive. And so we're going to be putting out some boxes and asking for just different health items, hygiene type things like paper towels and tissues and Germex and Lysol and different things that they can use at school to help keep the environment clean. That's one of the things that we agreed to do, helping with or adopting them. I mentioned earlier about the Housing Authority, that now we have kind of become the go-to church for Miss Donna when she sees needs. She was going through, and they do house inspections every, I think, once a month. And she was going through, and she said, JD, you wouldn't believe how many of these children and adults sleep on the floor. She said, I want to help take care of this. She said, but I don't have the resources. We don't have the resources as the Housing Authority to just dole that out. She said, so I'm calling you. I said, well, let me see what I can do, okay? Jonathan and I started talking about this one day in the office, and Jonathan said, all right, I'm going to go to Amazon real quick and see what we can find. You can find those cheap, but sturdy twin, full, and queen-size bed frames on Amazon for $35. And I thought it would be cool that if we just threw that out there and said, hey, would you be willing to buy a bed frame for somebody? We could have it delivered here, and then we would get to deliver it to the house and let people know that the Graymere people love them. If that's something you would be interested in, let me know. There are going to be continual ministry opportunities opened up to us as we continue to go down this road and as we continue to allow God to work in us. I'm going to tell you this, though. I don't know what it's going to look like. And there are times when I think to myself, what have we gotten ourselves into? What's going to happen next? Can we handle it? I do know this. I believe we can handle it. I believe God will give us the power and the strength to handle it as long as we continue to move forward in courage, knowing that our task is to bring children to God. And again, I'm not just talking about the little kids. We are continually having opportunities to minister to the parents as well. And so I want to also encourage you that if you see parents coming into our class times on Wednesday night, reach out to them. Let them know that they're welcome over here just like their children are over there. Do you need to become a child of God tonight? You mean the world to God. You absolutely mean the world to God. If you didn't, He wouldn't have sent His Son, His child, as a sacrifice for you. You mean the world to God. Give your life to Him and let Him transform you into the image of His Son, His child, for all eternity. If you need to be baptized and have your sins washed away, or if you need the prayers of the church, we want to offer the invitation, the Lord's invitation, as we stand and sing together. And thank you for your...